Hello everyone, welcome to Building Interoperable Applications with Solid in 2020. I'm Jackson Morgan on Twitter, I'm at OtherJackson, and you can check out my website at o.team. This is a pre-recorded presentation, but little did you know, I am clairvoyant. I can see into the future, and I see that there are 1.3 million people watching this presentation. Wow, what a great turnout. I want to extend a special welcome to former President of the United States, Barack Obama, and Canadian hockey legend, Wayne Gretzky. Thank you for being here. And thank you everyone else for being here for this presentation. I want to start this presentation out with three stories. And the first one concerns something that I'm sure that not a lot of people have been talking about, COVID-19. I was living in New York City when I got my vaccine. And when I got my vaccine, they gave me this. This is called the Excelsior Pass. It gives you a QR code, and this thing is amazing. The QR code, it gives you links to a verifiable credential. If you were there for the previous presentation, the one before mine, then I'm sure you're familiar with verifiable credentials. And you can scan this anywhere in New York State to verify that you have a vaccine. There was one problem. When I went to San Francisco, it didn't work. These are two cities in the same country, and the same pass didn't work for them. So I had to use this random non-digital paper pass, not very safe, not very verifiable. This is a breakdown in data interoperability. The next story I want to talk about is with Amazon Logistics. I had a friend who worked for Amazon Logistics, and he was bragging about the data quality that they have. They said that they have all of their different data systems very well connected inside of Amazon. But then I asked, but what about the systems outside of Amazon? What about Amazon suppliers, the clients that Amazon works with? And he said that there are two ways that Amazon works with those suppliers. The first way is they build a software integration with their supplier's ecosystem. And this takes engineering effort to do. But the more common way to do this was with PDFs. They were sending out PDFs en masse to all of their suppliers to be sure that they are in sync with their data. And you don't have to ask anyone to know that this isn't the most efficient process. So software integrations are obviously better, and Amazon is trying to work towards software integrations, but right now, most of them are doing PDF things. But even as Amazon works towards software integrations, this is really something that only Amazon can do. It takes a lot of money to build software integrations. And of course, Jeff Bezos literally launched himself into the heavens to laugh at God for being so poor. They've got a lot of money. The third story I want to talk about is the Tamara Mills tragedy. Now, Miss Mills was a young girl. She had chronic asthma. And throughout her life, she saw 47 different medical professionals. And that created 47 different patient records. Now, this is a bunch of patient records that are disconnected. And the medical professionals weren't able to find the right medication to give to Tamara. And because of that, she ended up dying. It was found that if her medical data was connected, she could still be alive today. This is a problem in data interoperability. There's one thing I want you to think about. Right now, we have so much digital infrastructure. Digital infrastructure is very well connected. You'd be caught dead to find an organization that doesn't have digital infrastructure right now. So that's not the problem. Digitizing the world is something we've already done. The problem is that our systems don't work together. And why is that? Well, this is what data looks like right now. It lives in silos. These are grain silos, but we also live in a world where there are data silos. And you can think of these as anything like silos of social media data, healthcare data, various aspects of businesses, various aspects of smart cities. But the concept is we have data silos that are siloed because they are under different interfaces. And a lot of times, it has data that is associated with the same organization or the same individuals split up between multiple silos. The way that we deal with this today is we write an integration to make silos compatible. And to be fair, that Excelsior Pass is writing an integration right now. I just need to wait for it to be able to use it in San Francisco. The integrations industry is currently $301.04 billion, and that's expected to get to $1 trillion by the end of the decade. So that's what we're doing now. We're writing integrations between different things. It's a very expensive industry. But why are we doing that when we could try to standardize under one interface, the Solid interface? And if we can standardize under one interface, then we can group data by the individual or by the company. We don't have to split it up between different silos. But what I hear people say when I talk about creating one interface to rule them all is, well, we're just creating another standard then. Fortunately for us, we've done this before. The World Wide Web is an extremely accepted standard that everyone uses. This is essentially the one interface to rule them all for interacting with UIs online. And the same person who was behind the World Wide Web is behind Solid. So far, tons of different organizations have signed on to work with Solid, and more are signing on every day. So at this point, hopefully you at least see Solid as something that's interesting, if not the thing that's going to save us from monopolized data. But how does it actually work? Well, the concept of Solid is pretty simple. Everyone owns their own pod, or personal online data store. This is where they store all of their data. Pods could be on your own personal server that you deploy in your house. That's what Tim does with his data. Or it could use what is called a pod provider. Pod provider is an organization that you trust to store your data, and they have a cloud server and things get stored there. Now, when you want to use your data, you use a Solid compatible app in an ecosystem of many Solid compatible apps. So all of these apps don't store their own data, they store data on your pod. And one of the great things about that is that apps can now work together without a need for any kind of explicit integration between them. For example, two chat apps will be able to use the same data on the same pod. So you could imagine that I might want to have a chat app that I care about more for business-oriented chats, or a chat app that I care for more friendly chats. Or alternatively, if my friend uses a different chat app, it's not going to be a problem for me to use another chat app. We can still talk to each other because all of the data is ultimately going to our pods and it all works together. Conversely, if I am an app developer, then I need to keep in mind that my app should be compatible with every pod that exists out there. And that's where the trouble of interoperability comes in. So this is a problem that needs to be solved. And there are two levels of this problem. The first level is API level interoperability. So when we want to make something interoperable, we need to think of a few considerations. The first consideration is, how are we going to structure our data so that all pods can communicate with each other? Well, any kind of data structure that we land on must be A, flexible enough to store anything, there must be a common way to traverse that information. And what's the most flexible form of data storage in computer science? That's right, the graph. And fortunately for us, there is a very common way to store things in a graph called RDF. RDF has many different serializations. You see a few of them here. N triples is probably the most distilled form of RDF. Then you can see a visualization of this graph we have here. The easiest one that I work with is JSON-LD. That, I think, is the one that most developers will find to be the most readable. But conceptually, the way RDF works is we set up a graph with nodes and edges, and almost everything in this graph is a URL. So I can dereference that URL to figure out what it's all about. For example, if I want to know what http://xmlns.com/foaf/0.1/given name is, I just go to that URL and I can see a description of what that edge means. Now that we've decided what we are using to structure our data, we need to talk about accessing data. And when we want to access data, we care about a system that is scalable, secure, and accessible. And this is where we get to kind of the boring part. Solid uses very established technology. We're using HTTP, client-server relationships, and something called an LDP, or linked data platform, which you can think of as simply a server that can store binaries and RDF-oriented information. I know it's boring, but in fact, the fact that it's boring is probably a benefit. A lot of people ask, well, this is a decentralized technology. Why aren't we using more hype tech like blockchain? And it comes into those three aspects. Blockchain has yet to prove that it is super scalable. I have a graph here that shows the transaction times on Bitcoin. And I know Bitcoin isn't necessarily the best blockchain technology to demonstrate this, but it's just an example of how sporadic things are if we want to use a blockchain to live online. The second thing is, it's not necessarily secure. Now, a lot of blockchain technologies are secure for the tasks that they are designed to do. But for Solid, we want you to be able to store public and private data. How do you store private data on something that has a completely open ledger? Well, you could encrypt it, but we've seen in the past, cryptography algorithms get broken all the time. All the cryptography algorithms that we have are probably going to be broken in 30 years. So imagine if you have put encrypted data up on a public blockchain, and then in 30 years, cryptography is broken. That means that now all of that data is essentially public. So I wouldn't necessarily consider it secure. And then the third is accessible. Well, we've all seen, if you've ever tried to work with decentralized apps like on the Ethereum blockchain, what you need to do is you need to install a browser extension called MetaMask or any other kind of Ethereum browser extension. And when we look at Solid, we want this to be adoptable by everyone, which means that any technology that we consider for Solid must work inside of a web browser. It must work inside of a mobile app so that it's really easy for people to adopt Solid. The third aspect of API level interoperability is authentication and access control. Because we have private data, we want users to be able to authenticate and then control who has access to that private data. And it must be easy to use, it must be decentralized, and it must be able to interoperate with other systems. Easy to use is easy when you think of how login systems are set up. So we have based Solid's authentication system on OIDC, which if you've ever seen login with Google, then that is OIDC. So instead of login with Google, you can log in with your Solid pod. And it's set up in a special way that makes this version of OIDC decentralized. I won't get into that there, but if anyone wants to ask a question about that, I'm happy to go through how this works. When it comes to access control, I think that there's a bit of progress we can be making in the Solid community. There are currently two versions of access control called web access control and access control policies. Web access control is a bit of an older version. Access control policies, in my opinion, is a better version. It's more flexible. However, the fact that we even have two access control systems poses a difficulty when it comes to interoperability. So in 2022, there will be some more work on access control, and hopefully we can get to a level of interoperability that's satisfiable. That, now that we've talked about API level data interoperability, let's talk about data level interoperability. And what do I mean by that? Well, there's a problem that we have, even if we abide by the same API. If we structure data differently, then systems aren't going to work. In this example, I am essentially describing the same person, Robert Taylor Johnson. However, this is structured in different ways. So if I have an app that is used to the first way of structuring data, it won't be able to work with the second way of structuring data. And this comes down to more of a social problem rather than a engineering problem. So how do we get people to agree on the same way to orient data? That comes down to data shapes. This is an example of a data shape that describes this employee shape that has a given name, family name, phone number, and a mailbox. If we can all agree on a data shape, then it becomes a lot easier to make things interoperable. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that we will all be able to agree on a single data shape for every single little thing. That's basically impossible. But if we communicate data shapes properly, we can get the number of data shapes down to a manageable level to where converters can take over after that. And that's the first step of something I'm working on called Shape Repo, where I display all the data shapes that are in the Solid ecosystem right now. At the moment, this is a read-only website, but hopefully I will be able to turn it into something that you can contribute to in the future. And once we have a place to put all of our data shapes, then the goal will be to change the way developers think. Instead of going and creating a completely new way to structure data, in the future, I'd love them to come to ShapeRepo or anything else to search for how are other people already structuring data. You can imagine it like the package control systems of other languages, where you're not going to roll most of your code base from scratch. You're going to be downloading packages from these package control systems. So in the same way, in the future, you won't roll the way that your data is shaped from scratch. You're going to download it from these systems. And in fact, I'm actually planning on making it even easier for developers by uploading all of the data shapes to npm and pip and maven and the Ruby Gem store. So hopefully in the future, data interoperability becomes a lot easier on Solid. And you can imagine that this way of doing data interoperability isn't just bound to Solid. You can also use it on other networks. So imagine a blockchain network that stores its data in the same way in RDF, and it's all completely interoperable. This concept of data interoperability isn't just bound to Solid. And finally, I want to advertise a few of my socials if you want to follow me. I have videos that I upload to Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, and TikTok, and they talk about random things about Solid. They're only about a minute long, but if you're interested in that, go ahead and subscribe to me on any of those platforms. Thank you all very much for listening to me, and I'm ready for any questions. Thanks.